views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Please stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge. Because every week on Lucid Planet Radio, we have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. You can find out much more on thelucidplanet.com. Stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com and iTunes and SoundCloud. And you can also connect with me personally on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. I'm super excited to announce that as of this week, we are now streaming live on CRN Digital Talk Radio, which is bringing us to over 11 million homes in the U.S. and globally syndicated in over 100 countries, including 25 stations just in Australia. This is amazing. We're so happy to be able to reach so many of you and connect ourselves. You can visit our website, thelucidplanet.com, to find out how to become an advertising partner and also find out all the ways that you can listen in your area. Wow, very exciting times. And today's show is about a topic that's incredibly important to me personally and professionally. As a psychologist and as someone who's battled addiction myself, really understanding the true roots of addiction, how to overcome the pain and the hurt that we've experienced both as children and through being raised in what is in many ways quite a toxic society. And there are many of us out there suffering. Almost everybody that I know in my life has a series of behaviors or has gone through behaviors that could be classified as an addiction. We're out there looking for answers. And what we're finding is that the traditional medical model that addresses addiction is not really accurate, and it isn't really that helpful. So today I am really excited and grateful to welcome one of the most inspiring forces in the field of medicine and healing and addiction. Someone who's had a huge impact on my life is Dr. Gabor Mate. And if you haven't heard of Dr. Mate, I just want to tell you a little bit about his experiences, which are absolutely incredible. He worked for 12 years in Vancouver's downtown East Side with patients who were challenged by hardcore drug addiction, mental illness, and HIV, including at Vancouver's supervised injection site. He had over 20 years of family practice and palliative care experience and extensive knowledge of the latest findings of cutting-edge research. And he is really a sought-after speaker and teacher, regularly addressing health professionals, educators, lay audiences throughout North America, and of course, radio audiences like our one here at Lucid Planet Radio. He also has written several best-selling books, including the award-winning In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts, Close Encounters with Addiction, When the Body Says No, The Cost of Hidden Stress, and Scattered Minds, A New Look at the Origins and Healings of Attention Deficit Disorder. He has also co-authored Hold On to Your Kids, and his works have been published internationally in 20 languages. He's also the co-founder of Compassion for Addiction, a new nonprofit that focuses on addiction, an advisor of Drugs Over Dinner, and he has received so many prizes and awards for his unbelievable work, including the Hubert Evans Prize for Literary Nonfiction, an honorary degree in law from the University of Northern British Columbia, an Outstanding Alumnus Award from Simon Fraser University, and the 2012 Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award from Mothers Against Teen Violence. And he is currently an adjunct professor in the Faculty of Criminology at Simon Fraser University. My goodness, you really can't find somebody who's kind of more exciting to interview on this topic than Dr. Mate. So without further ado, let's please welcome Dr. Mate to the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Very nice to have you here. I want to jump right into it. You know, we're taught, and I certainly was taught in my undergraduate classes in psychology, that addiction, it's really more of a genetic condition or a hereditary condition or a kind of moral deficiency or moral problem. But throughout your research and your work, you have made an incredibly compelling case that addiction can be traced to really the childhood environment. So what exactly happens in our childhood, Dr. Mate, that can lead us to become addicts?
Can I approach the question somewhat sideways first?
Please.
Let me define addiction as any behavior that a person finds craving for pleasure and relief in and suffers negative consequences as a result, but continues despite the negative consequences. So pleasure, craving, relief, negative consequences, inability to give it up. Okay,
yes.
So let me ask you a question. By
yes.
that definition, would you acknowledge that you've had an addictive behavior in your life sometime or another? I'm not asking what or when, but have you had, by that definition,
Absolutely.
An addiction? Okay, and notice I didn't say anything about substances. So it could be to alcohol, heroin, could also be to sex, gambling, shopping, the internet,
yes.
whatever, work, you know. So let me ask you this question now, Kelly. So
yes.
not what was wrong with the addiction, but what did you get from it? What did you like about it in the short term? What did it do for you?
Usually there's this escape.
Escape. Escape implies that there's something bad that you're trying to escape from.
Yes, exactly.
So what was that bad? What were you trying to escape from? Pain, emotional pain?
Pain,
distress.
Exactly. Emotional pain, stress.
Right, okay.
Yes, physical pain.
That's right. That's my whole point. The addiction is not the primary problem. The addiction is actually a person's attempt to solve a problem. Your addiction was your desperate attempt to solve the problem of pain and emotional stress in your life. Now, those aren't genetic problems.
Mm-hmm.
That pain and that emotional stress and your difficulty handling stress without soothing it through some addictive behavior all have to do with childhood experience. In other words, the addiction is a person's compensatory mechanism. It's a way they try to deal with more pain than they can handle. And the source of that pain is childhood experience. Now, genetics has nothing to do with that. There may be a genetic predisposition sometimes to addiction, and I would acknowledge that there is, but we know perfectly well now from animal studies and human experience as well that even creatures with those genetic predispositions never become addicted if they're brought up in the right environment. So the most we can say about genes is that genes may be present, but they're turned on and off by the environment. But the decisive factor is not the genes, but what happens to a person. And so my mantra about addiction, as you said, it was an attempt for you to resolve pain. My mantra about addiction is not why the addiction, but why the pain. Right. And to understand the people and to understand a person's pain, you have to look at their lives.
Why is it that so many people, maybe this is a philosophical question, it does seem that so many people are in pain in this world? And is it a human race? Are we dysfunctional? Is this just the journey that we have to deal with? You know, why is it that so many people are suffering and in pain and are seeking an escape?
Well, the answer is not that this, it's not necessarily the human condition. If I can give you a very clear example, I live in Canada, as you know, and you're in the United States. So let's take an example that's common to both our countries. The example of our Aboriginal population.
Yes.
So if you look at the Aboriginal population, what you call the Native Indians, we call First Nations, they had potentially addictive substances available to them before the Caucasians arrived here. They had tobacco, right? In some
yes.
places they had peyote. In some places they even had alcoholic spirits. But there was no addiction whatsoever.
Mm. Now there's an unbelievable problem.
Now, if you look at those populations, our so-called Eskimos, the Inuit, they have 10 times the suicide rate of the average Canadian population. The suicide rate amongst North American Indians in the United States is very, very high in many reservations. Children are killing themselves, and there's drug abuse and alcoholism and addictions all over the place. Why? Not because it's in their nature, but because of the historical trauma that they've endured. the trauma of genocidal wars, the trauma of losing their lands, the trauma of the extirpation, very deliberate blotting out of their culture, the destruction of their family lives. And then in Canada, and also in some places in the United States, for about 100 years in my country, children were abducted from their families, taken to these government or church-sponsored residential schools, where they were abused physically and sexually and emotionally. And that's why they're so addicted now. So it's got nothing to do with their natural state or their natural condition. So what I'm saying is that addiction is always an outcome of trauma. There are degrees of trauma. And we know statistically, and we know from the scientific studies, that the more trauma there is, the greater the risk of addiction. So addictions really are a normal response to an abnormal situation. Normal response in the sense that people will naturally seek to relieve their pain.
Yes. Yes.
And so the question is, now if you're asking why are so many people in pain in our society, is because for the conditions that call for a healthy life, for healthy relationships, for healthy parenting, for healthy childhoods are less and less available in our culture.
Absolutely.
And hence, so when you're looking at the obesity epidemic, it's not a question of junk foods. I mean, that's a part of it. But junk foods relieve stress. They release feel-good hormones in the brain. Why do people need that? Because they're so stressed. So we don't have an obesity epidemic. We have a stress epidemic.
And if you look at this, I completely agree. Dr. Mate, I'm going to jump in because our sponsors are going to come in and go to break right now.
Okay, good.
Absolutely is a normal addiction is a normal response to a normal situation. I love that. And when we come back, Dr. Mate and I are going to talk much more about this. So stay tuned and we'll see you in a couple minutes. Everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Scintilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
1230 WBLQ.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Dr. Gabor Mate, who is talking with us about addiction and adjustment and pain and how we cope. And before we continue, Dr. Mate, I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you to find more about your books and your research and your speaking engagements, etc.
Sure. Well, thank you. Actually, the titles of my books that you gave were the Canadian subtitles in the States. They're somewhat different, but that's all right. All that information is at my website, www.drgabormate, that's drgabormate.com. And lots of YouTube videos of my lectures have been posted. You can see them at my website or just on YouTube, articles that I've written, chapters of my books, and it's all freely available at my website.
There's some really great information out there, and I encourage everybody who's interested in this to definitely visit drgabormate.com and check this out further. Really great stuff. And, you know, during the break and before we went into the break, Dr. Mate, we've been talking about kind of this cycle of being raised or growing up in an environment of stress and pain, and then seeking out ways to cope with that pain that are often unhealthy for us. And then often that pain gets passed on. It's if your parents are stressed and upset, then there's a good chance the child will grow up kind of being imprinted with that. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Well, there's a number of dynamics by which we pass on our stress. I mean, being a Jewish infant under the Nazis in Budapest, I was traumatized as an infant, and I passed on that trauma to my children, some of it, you know, and in ways I wasn't aware of at the time. And the transmission of trauma happens in a number of ways. One of them is actually through genetic functioning, not that the genes are changed, but how the genes functions are changed. And so that the genes are actually, as I said in earlier, turned on and off by the environment. And so we now know that when the grandparents are traumatized, that shows up even in the genetic functioning of the grandchild.
And I have to say, I was mentioning during the break, we have a very shared common history. My grandparents fled the Nazi regime. They lost most of their families in the concentration camps. And my mother was born just after the war. And I've always felt my own feelings of stress and kind of paranoia that people are out to get me, and that very victimized, all things that didn't really happen in my life, but that come through my heritage. And at first I thought it was just because of being taught about it so much, but I actually do believe that even in myself that there is some level of a genetic component that pain and stress gets passed through the genes.
Well, but careful there. I didn't say it was genetic. It's not the gene structure is not changed, so it's not in the DNA.
Okay.
It's how the DNA is activated, or shut down or turned on. That's called epigenetics on top of genetics. But let me say one more thing to you, Kelly, if I may.
Yeah, please.
And this is totally depends on whether you open to this conversation. But I would say that when you said you didn't experience those things of being threatened and so on in your life, I say you did.
Maybe you're right.
And
it's hard to say, really.
Well, it's not hard to say. For me, it's not hard to say. Because it doesn't have to take the forms that are so dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe but let's say something. You know, here's the thing. If your mother feels anxious,
yes.
Just if your mother feels anxious, and you're a small infant, and you're 100% dependent on the mother's sense of security so that you can feel secure, what are you going to feel when she feels anxious?
Right, you're going to feel anxious.
Or deep anxiety. Distracted. Deep anxiety. Yeah. And this is with your mother loving you and doing her very best.
Yeah.
So the infant actually already in the uterus, we already know that brain development, and this is the part of addiction again that people don't talk about for some reason. We think about addiction as a brain disease, but we don't talk about the fact, which is scientifically not even controversial, it's just state-of-the-art science, that the brain actually develops an interaction with the environment. So which circuits get turned on and off, and emotionally, which circuits get activated, and physiologically, which circuits get activated, and which neurochemicals will be present, depends very much on the early environment. And that begins already in uterus. Mm-hmm. So if your mother is stressed during the uterus, that's already affecting you because the stress hormones are coming through the placenta, through you, and affecting your nervous system, your developing nervous system, and your developing brain. So that we actually download our parents' fears, not just in the sense of the epigenetics that I talked about, but also in the sense that if the nurturing parents, which are the holding environment for the child, are experiencing fear or stress or the unresolved issues of trauma, the child automatically absorbs that. Can't help it. Because my sense of security depends on the sense of security of the parent. And there's a wonderful California-based spiritual teacher, psychologist called A.H. Almas, who puts it very, very beautifully. And if I may actually quote him, he says, the child is very open and can feel the pain and suffering going on in its immediate environment. The child is aware of its own body and can also feel the tension, rigidity, and pain in the body of the mother or of anyone else he's with. If the mother is suffering, the baby suffers too. The pain never gets discharged.
And so...
And so that's... sorry, go ahead, yeah?
I guess I'm absolutely hearing and feeling what you're saying. My question and my thought is there any way out of the cycle? I mean, do you think that there'll be a time when parents become aware of this? Or is it more something that we have to kind of cope with as adults as we grow up and try to connect and correct what's happened to us as children?
Well, it's both, you see. If you actually look at the optimal parenting environment, and studies have been done on what's the best way to raise children, and particularly a psychologist at Notre Dame University, who sometimes you might really wish to talk to. Her name is Darcia Narvaez, and she's written wonderful books. And she points out that the optimal parenting environment was actually the hunter-gatherer tribe. Mm. Because in the hunter-gatherer tribe, parents were always with their kids. They didn't hit their kids. And they never put the kids down. And the kids had lots of nurturing adults to relate to. It wasn't just the isolated nuclear family.
Exactly.
Now, these people did not understand anything about attachment theory. They didn't have to. They did it naturally. Now, in our society, we have to understand attachment because we've lost it. So I think more and more parents, through books that have been published and information that's being disseminated now, the books of Daniel Siegel, Alan Shore, my books, the books of other people, Alfie Kohn and others, we talk about attachment-based parenting and how that important it is for child development and brain development and so on. So people are becoming aware. But at the same time, a lot of people are still growing up with unresolved issues from their childhoods. And the good news is, if you understand what trauma actually is, see, trauma, people think of trauma as a bad thing that happened, but that's not what the trauma is. So the trauma is not that you were sexually abused. And by the way, when it comes to my work with severe drug addicts, in 12 years of work in Vancouver's downtown east side, I did not meet a single female patient who had not been sexually abused.
Wow.
And that statistically, is in all the studies, the same thing shows up of, you know, abuse, trauma, and so on. But the point is, the trauma is not the sexual abuse. The trauma is what happens in the person as a result of the sexual abuse, which is a disconnection from self, a disconnection from the body, and a disconnection from the emotions. That's what the trauma is.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good thing, because if the trauma is what happened 40 years ago or 30 years ago, in my case, 71 years ago, then that's irretrievable because it already happened. You can't undo it. But if the trauma was actually the loss of connection with the self, that can be found every time, because we're still here to connect with our bodies and our emotions and our nervous systems are still here to connect with in an authentic, present, related way. And so, I mean, that's why the word recovery is so interesting. What's the word that we use for the healing from addiction? We use the word recovery. What does recovery mean? It means to find something. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this question. When you recovered from your addiction, what did you find?
Yeah, more of yourself.
You found yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that means that that self that you found was never lost. It was never destroyed. It was never damaged. You just lost sight of it. And that's what the trauma is. So yeah. The good news is, yes, we can recover. We can actually find ourselves given there's the right hope. Kind of help. Unfortunately, there's not
we
hope.
Don't have the help.
We don't, unfortunately, yeah. Much of the help in the addiction world doesn't understand anything of what you and I are talking about today.
Yeah.
They think it's a genetic disease. They think it's some kind of a personal failure, a bad choice.
Right.
It's a behavior.
You gotta submit to a higher power and all the, you know, the whole 12-step thing. And
we only have
a couple minutes going into the break. I just wanted to say something. And maybe you're right about the higher power, but
yes.
I just wanted to say everything that you said reminds me of soul retrieval, like the spiritual phenomenon of soul retrieval, of going into you separate from yourself when the trauma happens, and there's a process of actually going and finding that part of your soul that you've lost and bringing it back. That's what this is really, that's what it sounds like. And yeah, we don't have a medical system or like a psychiatric care system that really integrates the ideas of soul retrieval yet.
maybe after the break we could talk about what's wrong with the healthcare system.
I would love to. Absolutely. And alternative ways like psychedelic therapy, for example. So on that note, I'm Dr. Kelly. You're listening to Lucid Planet Radio. And when we come back, Dr. Amate and I will talk more about healing from addiction, healthcare system, and really what the future holds for us. So stay tuned and we'll see you in a few.
Co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving.
even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with Dr. Gabor Mate talking about addiction, adjustment, and what it means to kind of be normal in today's crazy world. And when we left off, we were talking about treatment and how so many people who have addictions are seeking help, but the help doesn't work. Dr. Mate, why don't traditional kind of medical-based recovery programs work?
They don't work because they don't understand the problem. They see the problem as either an inherited brain disease, which we've been discussing it is not, or they see the problem as a moral choice, a behavior problem. The average medical student, and this is absolutely astonishing, but the average medical student anywhere in North America rarely, if ever, hears the word trauma. In fact, in 4 years of medical school, most students never hear a single lecture on trauma and its impact. Now, trauma is the most important dynamic in the onset of addiction and in the onset of mental illness in general. And I would also argue, and that's another conversation, of a lot of physical illness as well. And that's not just on my personal opinion, that's also what the large-scale study shows. So the greater degree of trauma in childhood, significantly exponentially the greater risk of addiction, mental health problems, behavior problems, relationship problems, autoimmune disease, cancer, and so on. Now, despite this fact, the average medical practitioner does not hear the word trauma. When you look at the official American Society of Addiction Medicine definition of trauma, they say it's a primary brain disease, 50% potentiated by genetics. I would say it's probably 5% genetic, maybe, or 10, and at the very most. And those 5-10% are not decisive, as we were saying. But if this is their basis of understanding, and if they've known, and if they don't ask people about their lives and their emotions and how they were hurt and how they cope with that hurt, how can they possibly help people overcome those behaviors that were designed to soothe that pain? They can't.
They can't.
Furthermore. Healthcare practitioners and counselors are sometimes kind of authoritarian, like, I'm the expert, I'm going to deliver you the care. Mm-hmm. And there's not that personal sense of connection with the client. That re-traumatizes the client because in the first place, they suffered because of what happened in their relationships with their early caregivers. Mm-hmm. Now their caregiver is an adult, don't connect with them emotionally. Guess what? That trauma gets triggered again. And then there's coercive practices and techniques forcing people. Like, take the 12 step, for example, which I think have a lot to offer personally if people enter it freely by choice and consciously. But when you coerce somebody into anything, you're actually hurting them. And you're going to evoke their resistance rather than their cooperation. If I try to push you, you would push back. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm pushing in the right direction, you would still push back.
Absolutely.
You know? So, and then you have these interventions where the client is identified as the problem. But if you understand addiction properly, the addict is not the problem. The addict actually is a representation of a multi-generational trauma that everybody in the family carries. The addict just happens to be the one who acts it out. Mm-hmm. And so interventions that are designed to fix the addict without looking at the larger family system and everybody taking the opportunity to heal, how is that going to help if you just make that person into a problem? They're already so ashamed of themselves. How's it going to help to point out to them how much difficulty and sorrow they're causing the rest of their family? Now, if the family wants to come to that individual and say something like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for showing us how much suffering there's been in our family. And you're the one who's manifesting that suffering on behalf of all of us. But we all share in it. So let's all heal together. And we invite you to heal with us. But we're going to engage in that healing journey, whether you're able to join us right now or not, because you may not be ready yet. And that's okay if you understand. Because right now you're in too much in pain, so you're going to continue to doing what you're doing. But we're going to start healing ourselves. Well, imagine that kind of intervention.
Yeah.
But that's not what happens.
That's not what happens. And yet, you know, so many of us know somebody who is struggling with addiction or who has battled addiction, and we want to help. But sometimes, you know, the way that we help and the way that practitioners help makes it worse. Do you have any advice for people on how to help in a way that is constructive? I think what you said was really great.
Well, first of all, you must approach, and then I have a chapter on this, on my book on addiction in the realm of Hungry Ghosts. You have to approach the addict with complete 100% acceptance.
Yeah.
I accept that right now you're in so much pain that you're relying on this behavior or this substance to soothe your pain.
Mm-hmm.
I accept it. That's how it is for you. How's it for you?
Yeah.
In other words, you have to be curious about their experience.
Yeah.
You can make a decision. I can have this addict in my life exactly the way they are, or I can't. It's too much for me. It's too stressful for me. It's too painful for me. I can't put up with it. That's a legitimate decision. Mm-hmm. But to have the addict in your life and try to change them all the time and pressure them, that's insanity.
Yeah, it is.
So either accept people or decide that it's not in you to accept them right now, or that even if you accept them, you can't be with them because it's too difficult for you. That's legitimate. What's not legitimate is to try and keep trying to change somebody. So the only way to accept people, to approach people is with absolute acceptance, radical acceptance, and then see what happens. And I say that when people experience that radical acceptance, then they capacity for healing is much more likely to open up inside themselves. Now, that's on the private level. On the policy level, in Vancouver, I was the physician, as you mentioned in your introduction, at a place called Insight, which is North America's, at this point, only supervised injections. People actually get to bring their drugs and inject under supervision, and we give them clean needles, and we give them sterile water, and we give them alcohol swabs to cleanse their arms. People say you're coddling addicts and you're encouraging, enabling addiction. No, you're not. The question you're asking is it better for people to inject with puddle water from the back alley, or is it better to use sterile water? Is it better to share needles and transmit or receive HIV or hepatitis C, or is it better to get a clean needle? That's the question. Is it better to get resuscitated if you overdose, or should we let you die? You know, these are the questions. And to me, it's not even an issue. That's called harm reduction. Yeah. And harm reduction is not the answer to addiction, but it's a step in the right direction because it accepts people exactly where they are. And then once people feel accepted, then they're much more open to a conversation about where to go next.
Harm reduction and drugs is one of the biggest issues, too. Even in just recreational drugs for people who may or may not be addicts, you know, and in America, there's this whole thing with the Dance Safe coming to events and like wanting to allow people to test their drugs and to give harm reduction to people who've overdosed. And the government's still, you know, the RAVE Act, the government's still trying to fight it. And it's such a basic human rights issue. People are going to do this no matter what. that has nothing to do with the structure that you create around them. I mean, even if you send them to prison, they're still going to find a way to inject heroin if they want to inject heroin, you know?
Oh, yeah. The two best places to get drugs in North America are the schools and the prisons.
Yeah, you know? And, exactly.
And of course, there's this question of if people are traumatized and if they're soothing themselves with substances, why are we punishing them?
Yeah.
I mean, we're punishing people for wanting not to be in pain. That's what we're doing. Now, if they do it with alcohol or cigarettes and they kill themselves, and alcohol and cigarettes are far more damaging.
Totally.
And I'm not advocating drug use. What I'm saying is, if I'm going to look at the health issue from the point of view of actual science and actual effects on a person's well-being, physical well-being, then there's no comparison between alcohol and tobacco on the one hand and all the other drugs on the other hand. The first two are far more dangerous, but those are accepted and it's okay to make a profit on them. And yet you catch somebody in the States with a bit of an illicit drug, they go to jail. Mm-hmm. What sense are we making?
Yeah,
you know, now,
and so many other countries are doing it differently and having so much more success with actual recovery.
Well, I wish I could say so many countries, but some countries are.
A few.
Some countries are, and they're having, and of course they're having better effects. In Vancouver here, the New York Times had an article actually last week about a place in Vancouver where heroin addicts are getting heroin to inject. Mm-hmm. These people have much healthier lives. They're much able to work. They have better relationships, much less crime, of course, you know, and such studies have been done all around the world. So when we look at the general system, the legal system and the healthcare system, and the addiction industry, recovery industry, of course they're failing because they don't understand what they're dealing with. And when you don't understand what you're dealing with, would you take your car to a mechanic that doesn't know anything about cars? and what would you expect the result to be if you did?
Yep.
But unfortunately, that's the state of the addiction care industry.
But you know what? I hope. And I pray and I believe because I'm an optimist and I have a feeling with all the work that you've done and how much you've devoted, you're probably pretty optimistic too, that maybe we'll see things change. And, you know, maybe we'll actually see practices start to improve as this knowledge becomes commonplace and as new therapies and treatments start to become effective. And we're going to go into the break right now, but as soon as we come back, we're going to talk about what the future might look like. So I'm Dr. Kelly here with Gabor Mate, and this is Lucid Planet Radio. We'll see you in a minute. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Kelly from Lucid Planet Radio. I want to tell you about Lucidity Festival, the amazing arts, music, and healing event happening in Santa Barbara, California, April 8th through the 10th. Join me for 3 days and check out amazing artists like Haywire, Blue Tech, Keller Williams, and Kyla Scintilla, as well as workshops, healing services, creative villages, dancing all night at the Silent Disco, and interactive art displays. Also leading up to the festival, April 4th through the 7th, is the first Lucid University immersive learning opportunity. If you want to have fun, grow, connect, and better your life, mark your calendar April 4th through the 10th for the entire Lucidity experience. You can save over $100 when you bundle tickets for Lucid University and Lucidity Festival. Learn more about both events and get your tickets today at lucidityfestival.com. Use my special discount code LucidPlanet when you purchase for a $15 discount.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Discover the 8 things the elements of prosperity want you to know. Lynn Brown is hosting a life-transforming, soul-expanding evening on April 30th featuring guest speaker and radio host Dr. Pat Basile. Lynn was guided to make this a by-donation event for entrance, and all proceeds will be donated towards uplifting the homeless community. For more information and to get tickets, visit eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com and type Lynn Brown in the search.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Going all right. I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day and you'd say night.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Dr. Gabor Mate, and we've been talking about healing addiction, adjustment, and kind of where the medical system is and possibly where it's going. Dr. Mate, thank you again for joining us.
It's been,
it's been wonderful to have you on, and I look forward to having you on again in the future to talk more about all of these fascinating topics. I guess my question is, where we left off from the break, I was saying that I feel optimistic that maybe things are getting better. How do you feel about this? Are there opportunities for treatment and actual true healing and recovery that are emerging?
Well, what is happening is that the information about trauma, childhood development, attachment, and the disruptions of attachment, and how that affects human psychology and human behavior, it's getting more and more well known. So there's a very well known set of studies called the Adverse Childhood Experience Studies, the ACE studies, done in California, and these are the studies that showed on a large population that the more trauma, the more adversity there is, the greater risk of addiction and all kinds of other problems as well. And there's increasing information out there and increasing awareness of this kind of information on the part of the general public and many professionals, although it's very slow to penetrate the medical field, which is a very conservative, hidebound institution, you might say. But I'm optimistic that I know in terms of the reception my work has received, you know, when I look at, say, book rankings on Amazon.com, my book is always in the very two or three or four of books on substance abuse, almost always. Now, I don't mean to boast when I say that. I just mean to say that the reception for this kind of idea, these kind of ideas, is getting broader and broader and broader. Why? Because people are recognizing that the system just isn't working. So I am optimistic that the information is going to spread. However, I'm not optimistic that that's going to transform health practice very, very quickly, because there's all kinds of institutional dynamics that keeps organizations and universities and individuals in the system doing what they've always done. It's what they know how to do. So, yes, I'm optimistic in the long term. In the short term, I think we're in for a very difficult haul.
and it's been difficult, I guess, is where I'm getting to. It's already been difficult for a lot of people, but now for the first time, and maybe we can thank technology and the internet for all the bad that it does, you know, at least people are now able to empower themselves to seek out those alternatives and to seek out, you know, alternative ways of doing things and alternative models of care. You know, yes. Like people actually can go online and they can research this. Doesn't mean everything they read online is true, obviously, but they can go online and they can read other people's stories and other people's accounts. And, you know, they really, I guess what I'm saying is what I see and what I've experienced in my life too. And the people close to me who've been sick from all different kinds of illnesses and diseases and chronic conditions is it's really up to you to get out there and to find the information that you need.
Absolutely. And by the way, as I said earlier, and in my book, When the Body Says No, I talk about this, and that's perhaps another conversation that we could have, is that the same case that I make for addiction as being rooted in childhood adversity can also be made with equal scientific proof for chronic illnesses like autoimmune diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, ALS, and a whole range of other conditions. So that it's just so important, A, to get childhood right, to get parents and schools to understand what children need in their healthy development, and to help adults who've been diagnosed with this, that, or the other to actually see that if they can heal their trauma, reconnect with themselves, there's all kinds of healing that's possible from all kinds of conditions that otherwise are pretty debilitating. I'm not saying there's a panacea or there's a super cure for everybody. But I'm saying there's a lot more healing possible for human beings than Western medicine, the medicine that I've been trained in, actually acknowledges.
Mm. Do you recommend that people pursue kind of like Eastern therapies or alternative therapies, energetic work or kind of acupuncture or things that work with qi, that kind of stuff?
I think that there's tremendous wisdom in these alternative modalities. People have to work with what they're comfortable with, you know, and some people are just not comfortable going to those places, you know, those modalities, and they shouldn't force themselves either. But in terms of understanding the unity of mind and body and the energetic impact of emotions and traumatic experiences, in having a holistic approach, in releasing blockages in the body, when you get modalities like Qigong and yoga and Eastern or traditional native healing practices, or more modern modalities like EMDR for trauma or emotional freedom technique, or any number of newer healing modalities that are body-based and we connect people, I recommend them. You know, and then people can, whatever degree they, of Western treatment they want to accept or just select, well, that's fine as well. You know, in other words, all I'm saying is that we need to be much more open-minded and not think that the Western medical approach has got all the answers, because they don't. We don't.
No.
We have some incredible insights, some tremendous things that we can do, magical techniques, you might say. But for most part, for chronic conditions like addiction, for chronic conditions like autoimmune disease and so on, we're very, very poor at providing answers.
Yeah, I've had several guests on the show to speak to this very topic, kind of about how we don't understand autoimmune disease or why we really don't understand, you know, where it comes from.
I hate to tell you, but I do. And we talk about that sometime. Oh, yeah, sure.
I would love to talk about that. We only have like 2 minutes left today, sadly, or 1 minute left.
No, some other time, perhaps.
Some other time, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I'd love to. Well, I mean, it's been wonderful to have you on the show, Dr. Mate. And you really inspired me. I think sometimes it's the people who've been through the most, like you've been through so much work and so much training in these modalities to kind of understand the flaws in them and the ways in which like we need more. And, you know, I feel a little bit of a parallel between that and my training in psychology and academic psychology and stuff. And then kind of realizing that actually a lot of the answers I was looking for weren't there. But that's how we grow and how we evolve and how knowledge expands. And it can be a very difficult process, but it's an incredibly important process. And I'm very grateful.
Yes. And I think probably you, like myself, with that training that we received, from which I'm very grateful for, at least we learned to ask the right questions.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Even if we don't find the answers within the narrow parameters of our training, we certainly are more adept at looking for the right answers. And it's a question of being open. That's what I'm saying to individuals and the institution. Just be open to other kinds of information and newer ways of looking at things, because the old ways they're very limited and very powerless, really.
They're not going to help us heal the way that we really need to heal, which is on kind of a deeper soul level. And so that being said, you know, that's a great take-home message for the show. Keep an open mind. I want to thank Dr. Gabor Mate for coming on the show and for sharing such great information. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly this week. You can join me every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on WBLQ and Transformation Talk Radio. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter, and also download all of our podcasts for free. Next week, you will please tune in. I'm going to be talking to Mitch Schultz, who is a filmmaker, and he's a director of the film DMT, The Spirit Molecule, based on Dr. Rick Strassman's book. And we're going to be talking about rewriting humanity's narrative and cultural mythos to reflect who we truly are, not who we think we are. So it's going to be a really interesting show. Light and love, and I will see you all next week. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.